What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of The Force Sensitive. And this morning, we are up bright and early. I wouldn't do this for just anyone, but we have a special guest with us. We have Sean Love, the owner of, I always screw this up, what is it? It's a body shop, but it's B-O-T-T-Y, right? Sean?
Yes, sir.
What is it?
Sean Diesel's Body Shop.
There it is. He, for those that have watched my reviews and stuff, he's the one that beautifully painted those Flame Toys model kits. So, a very talented gentleman. And I didn't even know, prior to Gort telling me that this was going to be something that he'd be interested in partaking in, but I'm glad that you are. Gort is with us as well. How are you this morning, sir?
I'm doing well.
You watching your weight?
Oh, yeah. That's all I can do.
All right. I don't want you to get out and let it get out of control.
No. Wouldn't want that. I might not fit through a door anymore.
So let's go ahead and get started then. We are working on some time constraints in order to accommodate Mr. Diesel. So, Sean, what was the first memory you have of Star Wars?
My first memory of Star Wars is going to be, I would have been around 5 years old in kindergarten, and I was sitting in the living room floor, and Mom had it on HBO. My mom's a big sci-fi lady. Like, she loves Star Trek, Star Wars, and she got me and my older brother into that type of thing. And the first memory is the scene of them in the trash compactor.
Yeah.
Yeah, the very cool. First thing ever.
So you,
get my little button.
So you walked into it like she was watching it without you.
Yeah, I managed to sit down.
Yeah,
because I went to kindergarten in the afternoon. I didn't go all day.
Right.
I got to hang out with her for a little bit before she took me.
That's cool. So did you? Having just walked into it and seeing a small portion of it, did you? I mean, where did it take you from there? Like, did you want to come back and watch the rest of it, or how long was it before you watched the rest of it?
Oh yeah, that was. I didn't want to go to school. I wanted to finish it. You know, I saw it.
Right.
It was the coolest thing ever. But you know, I had to go to school. But you know, it would come on HBO, and she'd let us watch it. My mom was very particular on what we watched and listened to as
really?
Small children. Oh yeah, she's very religious.
Oh, let's talk about that.
Yeah, get into it. You want to know about the snakes?
So rattle me off some stuff that you weren't allowed to see and that you were allowed to see, and then we'll do the same with music.
Okay. So TV-wise, it would be basically children's cartoons and Disney. That's it.
Okay. And Star Wars.
Yes, but she would make an exception for Star Wars. There was only a few things that bothered her in the beginning. The first time I can really remember her throwing a fit was Return of the Jedi when Leia was in that skimpy suit. She did not like that at all. She was like, cover your eyes, cover your ears.
She was ahead of the Twitter curve.
Yeah. That's how she was, man. I remember her throwing a fit about that like we were little devil children.
I was throwing a fit about it as well, but for a very different reason.
Exactly.
I'm almost entirely sure that is what made me understand myself and my sexuality as a young lad, was that particular outfit.
Well, it was going to be that or Prince Adam.
Yeah, it was going to be one or the other, right? You know? And as fate would have it, the peg fell down that way. All right, so she was okay with Star Wars, except she wasn't crazy about the Leia bit. And I know you a little bit personally. It's funny because you turned out to be a bit of a freak. So that's funny how that all played out. So what was she like adamant about? What was it that you wanted to watch as a kid that you already knew? Like, it was, there's no way she's ever going to let me see this.
Rambo would be one of them.
Ah. Oh.
She was not having. I watched First Blood at my cousin's house, which was right next door when I was growing up. Mm. Didn't ask her, didn't tell her, but she found out somehow, and she blew her lid. She had me snatched up by the nap of the neck, wearing me out for watching such a thing.
It's interesting, man. I my dad was a little protective of what I watched and listened to. not insanely so, and he would make exceptions, but I do recall that my mom, you know, didn't care, but I would, you know, spending my weekends at my mom's house, I would get all the movies. Like, I wanted to watch all the Freddy Krueger movies when that was, like, a big deal for a kid in the 80s to have seen. So, like, mm-hmm. you know, my mom would get all those for me, and I'd watch them over there on the weekends and then come back to my dad's house, and, you know, I wouldn't have been allowed near that sort of stuff probably until I was, like, in middle school, and then he lightened up a bit. And then, you know, I had records with stickers on them, but, you know, or tapes, rather. But, like, if you remember those days, they used to put the sticker, the explicit lyrics sticker, on the cellophane. So like, you could get – if you found one that wasn't put on securely, you could peel it off. So I used to always peel them off, and then I'd ask my dad to buy it, you know. And that's how I, like, obtained a lot of, like, the rap records and stuff I had of when I was a kid, was because I just peeled the sticker off. Take that, Tipper Gore. Let's see. Okay, so what were you allowed to listen to and not allowed to listen to? Let's hear that.
Country and gospel. That's tell me how awesome that is. That's what my mother's okay list was. My dad was way different. I spent a lot of time with my pops, and he was way different. You know, he was a 70s rock guy.
Right.
In the 80s, and he didn't give a shit what we watched, you know. He was always cool with it, as long as mom didn't find out, because he didn't want his day to get any harder than it had to be.
Yeah, how did they get along, those two, with being, like, just different sides of the world?
Yeah, well, my mom didn't used to be that way. She,
I see. She Kanye West. She became Kanye West.
She found Jesus when I was about 3 or 4.
Where was he hiding?
I'm not going to say that. Under a rock somewhere.
Yeah. So she kind of changed. She switched.
Sure did. And then my junior year in high school, she flipped it back to her original form, I guess you could say.
her original form.
Oh my God. It was like, so she's Pentecostal. There's so many rules with that stuff, you wouldn't believe it. Like, I couldn't wear shorts. Had to wear pants all the time. So in gym class, when you changed out, I had to come strolling out in sweatpants, and everyone look at me like I was the weirdo and tell them it was my religion.
Huh. Wow.
Yeah, it was such a pain in the ass. And she finally got – well, so I was 13 years old, and my dad said, you know what? If you don't want to do this, you don't have to.
Right.
I never went back to that place.
Right.
And became normal. And then my junior year in high school, she something happened, and she just went back to normal. Well, now she's batshit crazy, but she went back to her original form.
I think there's a bar graph of how many did you have siblings?
One older brother.
Okay. I think there's a bar graph of how many children a woman has and her age and her likelihood of losing her sanity. And I don't blame women. I blame the kids. Because I think that women, by nature, they're attuned to their kids and, like, every little thing that they do. So as a result, they have to spend so much time around undeveloped brains and hearing "Twinkle Twinkle Little Star" on some electronic thing 50 times a day or whatever the case may be. And over time, they just unwind like a spool of thread. I tell my wife about it all the time, because, you know, I'm like, every time I feel like she's going way too overboard with you know, the kids, I'm like, look, I'm like, you're slipping on a bar graph. You're on your way. Okay. So you watched, the back half of Star Wars, the original. And then I imagine at some point you watched the front half.
Yes. What's kind of crazy about that is Empire and Star Wars, I thought, were the same movie for years.
Oh.
I didn't know they were two different movies. I'd watch them all the time. I just didn't know they were two different ones. I thought it was the same one.
It's a long movie.
I'm telling you, right?
Huh.
See, I could see that happening too, because not for Star Wars as much, but other movies, like I remember really blending them together. Like as a kid, seeing like Rockies and stuff, like I don't know the difference.
Yeah,
there.
Yeah, yeah.
Like even to this day, I still have a bit of trouble, but I haven't watched them.
I think forever. I was that way with the first two Indiana Jones because my dad used to cut it off the first one before like all the Nazi face zombie stuff.
Mm. You know what doesn't help that is that he doesn't change his clothes.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good point. So what were your, did you have any of the toys as a kid, Sean?
I never had any Star Wars toys. Neither did my older brother. I had one access to Star Wars toys when I was a kid, and it wasn't very often.
What toys did, but you had Transformers as a kid.
Yes, that was because we didn't have a lot of money in the beginning. Because Dad was just starting his business, but that was the one thing that I was really into that they could go get at the store.
Hmm.
And the children in a very small town.
The do they understand it? I'm sorry, I'm just getting ready. You ever see Clerks when they talk about how Transformers are blasphemous? Again, I think it's it's great. It's Clerks 2. There's like born again Christian type of young lad, but he's like super into Transformers, and they like make this point about how Transformers are the most blasphemous franchise it's like all an attack on God, and this kid like can't handle it. It's funny. It's just a joke, but it's funny as hell.
That's crazy, because my mom's mother, when we would hang out with my grandma, you know, I was allowed to take one toy with me when we'd go stay with her, but I would draw the toy that I brung with me.
Uh-huh.
He hated it. She couldn't stand that I would sit there and spend so much attention on something that wasn't godly.
Huh. So grandma, grandma was kind of cut of that cloth as well.
Yeah, she was a really nice lady, but she was twice as strict.
Wow. Huh. So, okay. When did you see Return of the Jedi? And when did you start realizing that they were three different movies?
Real quick, just for a frame of reference, about what year is all this, like, when you were first seeing these movies?
It's going to be 86, 87.
Okay.
I was born in 83.
Okay, gotcha.
So when did you see Return of the Jedi, and when did you start breaking up those movies in your head, and they become, when did two become three?
It would have to have been around first, second grade, I would say.
Okay.
And it would have been on HBO. We never had the tapes. Right. We didn't have a VCR until I was probably in the fourth or fifth grade.
Because it's the devil.
Exactly, man. That's how it was.
So, like, as a kid, like, in your, you know, your fan level of this stuff, where would you put it?
I put it on a second to Transformers as a kid.
Do you think that's because that you had the... that you had the toys, or do you think it was the frequency of the cartoon kind of being syndicated every day?
A little of both, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's, you know, when you don't have much, but you have one thing, I mean, you kind of focus and covenant.
Right,
you know?
Right.
Now, so let me tell you this. This might be one of the reasons why I'm fucked up. So as a kid, my mother cleaned houses for a living.
Okay.
And she had this one really big two-story house that she cleaned. And during the summertime, when school was out, she would take my brother and I to go help her clean it, because it would take her all day.
Mm-hmm.
But when we got our part of the cleaning done, she would allow us to just chill and hang out. But the lady that owned the house was super nice, and she had some children that was a little older than us, and they had Star Wars toys.
Huh.
And they were all out in a bin in the garage, and this house was out in the country. So that's when I knew what an X-Wing was. And I knew it first probably from playing with these toys, and then I noticed it on the HBO movies. So I knew what it was, and I would play with these toys, and it was really cool. So I would say maybe the fifth or sixth time we went out to the garage to start digging around in the tub, and there was a rattlesnake in there.
Ugh.
So we hightailed it out of there, and we went and told Mom, and she got the hoe, and she chopped his little ass up. We couldn't go out the garage anymore because she was afraid we'd get bit. You know, so we couldn't play with those toys anymore.
Good grief. It's very dangerous. Texas. It's very dangerous, the South, I feel like.
You have no idea, man. It's just dangerous in a different way.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know what I would do. I would lose my mind. I can probably count on one hand the amount of times I've seen a snake in the wild.
Do you see it? They'll be on your back porch in the summertime in town.
I drove over one with, I mean, drove is a road would be a better way to describe it. I rode over one on a bicycle and was fucked up by it. Like, because it, like, when I was on the C&O Canal in D.C. and I rode over it with my bike and I didn't see it. I just thought it was a twig or something. And then, like, it, like, you know, it, like, went crazy as I rode over it, like, like you know, like the can of snakes or whatever that you, you know, the can of worms that you pop the top and, like, it goes, like, all over. That's how it looked. And I was like, oh, like, I was fucked up by it. I saw one outside of my workplace once, and there's some country people that work there, too, and they were like, oh, we'll just pick it up and put it on the, and I was like, what? Nope. I don't want any parts of that. and, like, those are the only two times that really stick out to me. Like, they're almost like a, like, they're almost like a demon or something, like this, like, mystical force that you hear about and you see in, like, enclosed spaces at the zoo, but when you see it in real life, it's like, they're loose!
Yeah, but when you grow up and you see them at church, it's not that big of a deal.
Yeah, so like, didn't have poisonous ones, but we used to have them in the yard and just play with them and pick them up, and it was never a big deal. I had one as a pet for about a year. We used to feed it goldfish. Just slurp them down.
That's crazy. Wait. We do have to double back on one thing. You that's the second time you've referenced snakes at your church. So I'm beginning to think it's not a joke.
Have you ever seen anything about a Pentecostal church?
I'm guessing those are the people that bring the snakes out.
It's one of the whatever you want to call it. It's not their denomination, is it? It's a brand of church. It's one of them that will do shit like that.
Brand.
Who's their marketing guy?
Oh, man. the guy's name's on TV.
So like, they would really bring out snakes, like, in the mix?
Not at the one. There was two in Childress. Not at the one we went to, but the other one, they were. The preacher got bit.
Really?
Imagine that. Yeah. Took his ass to the hospital.
That's crazy.
To the hospital? Was he, like, picking up poisonous ones?
It's rattlesnakes, man.
Oh my God.
Shouldn't be playing with those. Like, if anything non-poisonous, like, it's going to bite you, it's going to hurt. I've been bitten, and it's not a big deal. But why are you playing with poisonous snakes?
Oh, it's
just to make a point.
To show your faith. It's like, it's the dumbest shit ever, man. Don't ever.
No.
Well, like, no. the thing about that, though, like, it's, like, boggling my mind is, like, you know, you weren't allowed to listen to Slick Rick or Metallica, but you could watch this fucking numbskull walk around with a poisonous snake in his hands.
Well, it's a positive influence, Bobby. That's why.
Dude, you just... So let me tell you about the first time I heard Metallica. So I had a friend, and he was telling me about Metallica. And he had tapes. And I had a tape player in my room. And he let me borrow it. And I went into my room. Mom was gone. Shut the door. I popped the tape in. It was Master of Puppets. Started playing it. And I've never heard anything like this in my life. And, you know, of course, I was doing something wrong. So it was even more cooler, right?
Of course. Of course.
So I'm jamming out. And I listened to the whole thing. And it just blew my world that there was other things out there besides Disney, country, and my mother. And I forgot to take the tape out and hide it. Well, my mother went into my room, and for some reason, she checked my tape player and found that. And she didn't know what Master of Puppets was, so she played it. And she lost her ever-living mind. She screamed my name. I come running inside, and she was in my room holding the tape, and I was just, oh, shit.
Yeah.
This is it. This is where I die.
This is where I die.
She grabbed my stereo, ripped it out of the wall, took it outside, and smashed it on the porch. But I told her, that tape's not mine. I have to take it back. And she made me take the tape back, but she smashed my stereo for listening to that.
Dude, was she actually the Master of Puppets in that scenario?
I don't know, man. It's so weird. Religion messes with people. She was a fanatic when I was a little kid.
Right.
See that.
Yeah, no, I get that impression. I wonder what sort of effect that has on a young person.
It fucks you up. It makes you an outcast, basically. So it took me a long time. I'm not very social, if you can't tell. But it took me a long time to adjust to other humans and not around on the ground. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah. I mean, it's fucking fascinating, though. Like, just this pocket existence that's like so isolated, you know, in almost every capacity. Like it's like almost like you're in a cave somewhere, you know, like, but you're not. You're interacting in regular society, but you're just like held back. I don't mean that necessarily in a derogatory way, just that you're not allowed to partake in all that life has to offer, or even really a significant portion.
That's true. So the only time that I did get to be a normal kid was when I was with my dad. So I went with him as much as I could.
Right. Where would you guys go?
I'd go to work with him. He was always working. After he left his business, he would have stuff on the side, like building and fixing cars or doing construction stuff. So I was always with him. That's probably where I get the hot.
Yeah, and probably learning a fuck ton also.
Oh, if you couldn't just hang out with dad. You had to work.
Mm-hmm.
And you had to mm-hmm. pay attention. His famous words were pay attention. So you're going to be involved one way or another. No matter what you can or can't do, he's going to push you, and he's going to make sure you're hands-on involved. Excuse me.
It's such a...
But he didn't treat you like a kid, you know? He treated you like you were older.
Right.
You know, he would be cussing, talking about pretty girls, and jamming out to music, and he expected you to jump right in the mix.
Right.
And not... scared.
So like there is this balance then of sorts where like on one hand you got like both hands tied behind your back and in regards to how you can kind of address the world, and then on the other hand you've got somebody putting literally and figuratively the tools in your hand and showing you how to use them.
Exactly. So it was a double-edged blade. I mean, you never could win. So say for an instance, there's some neighbor kids down the street. They took my older brother's bicycle. So when you're a kid, that's a pretty major offense.
For sure.
And you took my brother's bike, so it's we got to handle our business. So we go handle it, and we come back, and we're scratched up, whatnot. And that other kid, he got roughed up pretty bad, so his parents come down the street, want to know what's going on. And both of my parents are home, and my dad's like, attaboy. And my mother is about to lose her mind that we are the devil himself. So, I mean, like, okay, I think I did good, but I'm pretty sure she might whip me later. I'm not sure what's going to happen, but it was totally worth it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Real quick, I don't want to get lost in that, but how did the parents react?
The other parents? Oh, they were pissed off. I mean, for a kid, he was bad. But okay.
Because like I feel like there's a lot of parents from that era. Like my dad would have been like, you stole, like he would have been like, do you see what your kids did to my son? And be like, well, he stole the bike. And be like, you did what? All right,
exactly.
You know, like whip his ass a little bit more, actually.
Yeah, and there, you know, you've always got those parents that their child never did anything wrong.
Yeah, fucking obnoxious.
You've always got some of those hiding around somewhere, and he was one of those. So, but he never came back, and he never touched our stuff again.
I always default with my kids. I'm like, oh, what did they do? They absolutely had to have done it, except for my baby. My baby can do no wrong.
That's the way my thoughts were was, what did he do?
Yeah. Okay, so let's get a slightly back on track. I hope that we can dive more into this religious upbringing, though, because I'm almost more interested in that, honestly. But without being into the toys. And, you know, the kind of films being your second favorite thing to watch, but kind of limited in regard to your passion because of the circumstances in your house and because of, you know, limited funds and all those sorts of things. Was the dark times, was that a rough time for you? Or was, you know what I mean? Or did you really miss it? Or did you feel like, yeah, I'm good?
So that part. So that part of my life was not a time to expose one's likes and needs. You know, you wouldn't I wouldn't talk to someone about Star Wars or Transformers or toys or cool shit. It was time to grow up a little bit and be a wannabe tough guy.
Right.
So that stuff was hidden, I guess you could say. It was just to myself.
Right.
At home was safe to do and think and feel how you want, but out there, you didn't play games, basically. Right.
How did you, how was that? How was being a tough guy, you know, of sorts, you know, as a teenager, and then juxtapose against this, you know, hyper-religious home? How did that work out?
It's very confusing is how it worked out. It's probably the reason why is that you want to be something you're not so bad. But, I wasn't a fanatic. Not saying I don't believe in this and that and whatnot, but right. I wasn't who my mother was trying to mold me to be and who believed I was. It's not me, lady.
Right.
So when you're out of the house, you're free. You become what you are.
Right.
It makes sense. And when you go home, you can turn it off. I mean, you're safe until you got to do some Hail Marys and repent and all that shit.
Did you guys, do they do Hail Marys?
No, the Pentecostal Hail Marys.
I was going to say, I thought that was our thing.
Catholic. Yeah. it was more like flogging and read the Bible and memorize verses.
Flogging?
It just means hit you on the head, basically.
was physical discipline a part of that?
Fuck yeah, it was. Switching, really.
What that was handled just by mom, though, right? Not like the, like...
Like religious stuff, you know, that dad would not... He wouldn't lay a hand on us for wanting to believe a certain way.
Right.
It's like he told her, it's like, I'll never stop you from doing what you want to do, and I'll never hold it against you, but things will change. And he was right.
But, like, it wasn't any, like, the people in the church that were putting their hands on you.
The preacher did. Really? Matter of fact, so we were at the altar one time. And, you go to the altar. It's kind of like an altar boy, but it's not. You just kind of like an usher, really. But when pray time comes, you guys all went up to the altar by the preacher, and you would kneel down and you would pray. Well, the guy next to me was the one cutting up. I actually wasn't saying nothing, and the preacher snatched me up by my hair in front of the whole congregation.
Really?
Yeah. Man, there was something else that happened. I tell you, all you got to do is give me permission, and I'll tell you how freaky this could have went.
Yeah.
I almost found myself in a bad situation because I was in the bathroom at the church, and I thought I had the door locked, taking a leak, and the preacher came in there and wouldn't leave. And he was getting on to me, and he shut the door behind him and locked it. I mean, I was real uncomfortable trying to take a leak, and I was a little kid. I mean, that could have went south real fast.
Yeah, that's fucked up.
Yeah,
that's got all the ingredients for a fucked up cake right there.
Yeah, and see, I told my mother about it, and she didn't believe me because he was a preacher and he's godly, right?
but she was there when you got your head, when you're fucking, you know what I mean, your hair pulled, right?
Yes, and she was pissed off, not at him, at me.
Oh,
because
God.
He told her for talking and, horsing around, and I was actually the one silent. It was the guy next to me. But she was so embarrassed that, you know, her child was the one called out in front of everyone and snatched up like that.
Did your dad know?
I didn't tell him, and she was pretty adamant about not telling him because he would have lost his fucking mind.
Oh, man. You and I have talked, you know, plenty, you know, regularly. You and I talk regularly, and I kind of have an idea of who your father is, and I really wish you would have told him. You would have told him.
There were so many times. It's just the deal with my pops was you don't complain. You better have a really good reason, like dying reason, to complain about anything. So me trying to tell my dad, you know, I don't think something's right with this guy, or I think something creepy's going on, isn't exactly something I would have told my pop.
Yeah, that I understand, but him yanking you up, you know.
Yeah, and if I don't know if my dad would have believed me or the preacher, because like I say, he was always, what did he do first? You know, I'm always at fault first because I was a little turd. You know, all kids are.
Right. And I'm not saying that you even if you were the turd here, like even if you were the one cutting up. Like the punishment doesn't fit the crime.
Oh yeah, but I mean, it was. It's not that it hurt. It was embarrassing though, and I couldn't believe it. I was like, this guy thinks he is, man.
Because that is my thing. Like you know, I'm all about. Like, I'm the same way. Like, what did my kid do? What did they do? Especially, you know, my Selena. I'm like, good grief. If her name is brought up in anything, I'm like, oh, she fucking did it. Of course she did it. But you're not putting your hands on my kid. You know, I'll take care of all the discipline on the back end. You don't have to worry about it. But you're not touching my fucking kid.
See, mine weren't like that. If I was caught fucking up, he expected you to knock a dough pop on my head. I mean, that's how they were. Like, you fuck him up and then bring him home and I'll get him again.
I mean, I'm familiar with that kind of mentality. But, yeah, I mean, I even grew up kind of in an old school neighborhood where, you know, my neighbors would be like, you know, they would curse at me and like, oh, you're throwing rocks in the street like a fucking idiot. You want me to tell your dad? You know, like, yeah. But they never would have fucking touched. You know, I don't think they ever would have fucking touched me. That's fascinating, man. So I get the impression that maybe you didn't have the video games and read the books and all that shit during that era.
I did have one video game on Nintendo.
Which one?
Oh, it's the one. What? Okay, so first of all, I'm horrible at video games. Like, I suck so bad at them. So I couldn't get past the first part. But what you're doing is you're flying around on Hoth, and you have to tie the walkers up with the little plane.
That's Shadows of the Empire.
Is that what that is?
Yep. So that's the one that had the biggest push, and it's funny that it even hit you. Like, you're even in this like kind of like, you know, odd existence, like, you know, unique existence that you had. That the marketing of that machine even touched you.
It's well, see, so she was cool with us having Nintendos and whatnot, but she was very particular about the games that we played.
Right.
When ours, and the only store we really have in this town and have at town is we have a Walmart and that's it. So we were snooping around and it might have been my birthday or my brother's or something like that. And we were looking at the games and gonna ask mom, would this one be okay? Would this one be okay? And it said Star Wars, so she immediately said, that one will be okay. So she got one of us that game. Mm-hmm. And I've tried to play it so many times, but I couldn't get past tying the little thing's legs up. So
yeah, that was a hard game, man. Like, not for nothing, that was a hard game. You weren't alone.
And that was probably the hardest part of it, too.
Yep.
When you start walking around and you're shooting, I mean, it was easier, but it was still like, that's like the infancy of moving a character and also being able to look around. You're not just left and right only.
Yeah, except those Wampas. They weren't easy on the walk around.
You know what? You just walk around them. Everybody spent a lot of time killing those. Just walk around it.
1,000 laser bolts. 1,000 laser bolts it took to kill one of them things.
It did.
So, like, let me ask you this. Do you think, because, like, I'm not here to pass judgment on your upbringing, dude. That's not my role. But, like, it does seem... like I'm not saying there weren't good times. I'm not saying that there weren't great people involved, et cetera, but it does seem like a traumatic childhood at some level.
But in a way not, because I did have a really good childhood. You know, my parents are still married today. I grew up with both of them. As long as we weren't screwing up, everything was great and happy in the home.
Man, your parents are still together and they were married in the 80s. You lived in one of those dysfunctional homes.
Oh, yeah. But see, the deal is that my parents never argued in front of the kids, never even raised their voice at each other. They would always do it privately until I got into high school. When my mother reverted back to a normal human. That's the fighting came out. And then we finally figured out they've been having problems their whole life, but we never knew about it.
Well, and also I'm sure that switch for her, like that's an entirely cultural switch. You know, that's got to take its toll on a marriage, you know?
Oh, yeah. And that's why she's batshit crazy now, because she has so much guilt that she abandoned her her beliefs and her way of life for a way to try to save her marriage. She just can't handle it.
Oh, is that how she views her change back, was that it was for the marriage and not for herself?
Yeah, because we didn't know it, but I mean... So I was a junior in high school when this happened, and my older brother, he's 4 years older, so he was already out of the house. And he flat out said, I'm waiting for Sean to graduate, and then I'm gone. I'm divorcing you. And the reason why is because you're a crazy, crazy little church lady. Mm-hmm. So to save her marriage, she tried to be what she was. And it seemed great for a few years. And then like the guilt and all that stuff just started eating at her and eating at her. So then she started drinking and she just kind of lost her fucking mind.
Huh. So this is in your high school era, right?
Yeah, the junior and senior years when all this shit broke out.
And this should be hitting around the time of episode one, right?
That's right.
So let me ask a question before we get to the prequels. I think it's common for people, especially on the outside, to kind of make these wildly general accusations of people that are fans of the stuff that we are, you know, to the level that we are. That we are like escaping reality in some sense. But do you think that, like, I think it was true for me. Like, I think that as a kid, it was an escape from my reality. Do you think that it was for you as well in some regard?
Oh, totally, man. It was something fun and exciting and new, and it wasn't hard. So you could lose yourself in that world and those characters and the story for a little while instead of having to be out there and be someone a little harder than what you should be.
And the good guys and the bad guys are clearly defined.
Like, yeah.
I think that's one of the beauties of this stuff is like when you grow up, like, you know, your life, for instance, where, you know, mom is supposed to be a good guy, and not to say that she's not at heart, but just to say that she made your life complicated at some level. And, you know, a priest or a pastor or I'm not sure, whatever the reverend, whatever the leader is called down there. And, you know, the snake handler.
Megatron.
You know, but like that's supposed to be a good guy in your life. You know what I mean? Like, you know, like your coach and your priest and your parents and your, you know what I mean? Like these are supposed to be community leaders and good guys. But that wasn't the case for you. Like those things. Those roles were inverted in some regard. And I had a similar circumstance where, like, your mother is supposed to be, you know, the patron saint of fucking, you know, love. And I grew up in a house where that wasn't the case, you know, like something that was supposed to be good was bad. But when I went into these worlds, the fucking good guys were always good and the fucking bad guys were always bad, and it was clearly defined who was who. And I think there's a beauty to that a kid going through shit.
There's no question. You don't have to look at someone twice or sideways to figure out what their angle is with that. It's just, it is what it is. Enjoy it.
Yeah. So what was your, you know, obviously you got stuff going on in the house, right? You got, The marriage dynamics are changing, you know, as well as the relationship dynamics between parent and child, because the child can fight now. What was your excitement level, and, you know, was episode one even a big deal for you with all the shit you had going on?
It was, but it was only a faint whisper to me because we didn't have internet. Even to this day, my mother won't allow a computer in the house, in their house.
Wow.
Excuse me. So all I had of it was word of mouth or catching someone talking about it or seeing something on, I don't know, a magazine or whatnot. So I knew it was happening, and we didn't have a theater in town either. The closest theater is 60 miles away.
Right.
Wow.
So that's, it was just, I know this is going on. I just don't know when I can go get it. When can I touch this? I don't know. See, so what was that, 99?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was a sophomore, so I would have had my license. I would just have to find a way to get out of town to go see it, but I never did. It was just something I knew existed that I wondered when I could touch it.
What about the special editions? Did you catch those?
Later on, you mean when I actually had the chance to get DVDs for myself, those were the special editions, but that was way later than when they just first came out. I knew about them. I just didn't get to see them till way later.
So with the movie theater being so far away, how often did you even go at all, and what did you see?
It wouldn't have been very often, and it probably would have been after high school, because as soon as I graduated, I moved to the city, and I stayed there for a while. You know, there's 14 theaters in the city, so you can go anytime you want.
Yeah.
Which is I did. The only one I've ever seen in theaters was episode 3.
Wow.
So you caught the first two on DVD or
well, they would have been on Are you talking about the prequels?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, that would have been on DVD whenever that was. That was a long time after they came out, feels like.
But how was your so you're literally I believe the first person that we've had on here that didn't see the prequels in the theaters. So
right.
So what is it like having this 20-year gap or whatever it is of no new Star Wars media, and the first time you see it is on a DVD player on a, you know, a 20-inch television or whatever it was?
It was pretty crazy. So I was on my own then. We had an apartment, and I had a roommate who happened to be just as big a closeted nerd as I was.
Wait a minute. You were on your own?
So in 2005, yeah.
Well, 2005, is that when you saw episode 1 on DVD for the first time?
Yeah, it would have been around there.
Wow. Okay, continue. I'm sorry.
Yeah, so he was just as big as a closeted nerd as I was, and I found out that he loved Star Wars too, but he had way more exposure because he grew up in Chicago.
Right.
And then ended up in Texas for some damn reason. But he had way more exposure than I did, and he was totally cool with it, so he helped me get back into everything that I had missed.
So he kind of guided you. Like, well, once again, it's like this other person. Dude, I love this shit. Like, so it's like another person in your life that is like this positive force and is also guiding you. Like, you had your father, you have this guy. Like, how often do you feel like that figure pops up in your life?
Every 10 years ish.
It's funny, man, because like I do believe that, like, you find comfort in certain things as a young person, and then you kind of chase that experience. Let me tell you what I mean by that. I lived a fair amount of my my childhood in fear and in anxiety of the unknown of what my mother was capable of, and I find that I'm very comfortable in that space. So even as an adult, I will put myself in scenarios where, like, oh, I could get in trouble for this, just so that I can be productive and operate safely. Do you know what I mean? And I'm aware of it. And I'm like, sometimes I'm like, I start stressing out about something that, like, a choice that I've made. And I'm like, oh, you've done this on purpose to yourself. You've done this on purpose to yourself for this moment so that you can get shit done. You know?
Yeah. I know exactly what you're talking about. That feeling, it's like a good boxer. You got to be in the pocket to be a great boxer. But when you're in your pocket, you're in the danger zone. Yeah. You're going to get hit. But if you're not comfortable getting hit, you'll never be great. And I know exactly what you're feeling like. When you have comfort in that area,
So what was your watching these films for the first time in a, you know, with a roommate? How do you take to them?
Oh, I loved it. Really? Absolutely. So, to me, the prequels are my favorite. 1, 2, and 3. Even 1. Imagine that.
Huh.
But they were my favorite because it was Star Wars, but it looked so brand new.
Mm-hmm.
And it answered so many questions I've had from the first three. That's what really grabbed me and sucked me in hard.
So to speak.
God. Yeah, there you go. I was thinking Preacher again.
So do you think that so you also have this hate for Obi-Wan Kenobi?
Oh, dude, yeah.
So I want you to talk a bit about that, because you love the prequels. They're your favorites. Obi-Wan is one of the shining lights of the prequels in most people's opinions. And also, Obi-Wan is that figure. He is that mentor, that guide through this universe, which you sort of, you know, sought out as a young person, but now you hate his character. So I want to talk about it.
So that's going to be, he's like that guy that everyone's got to know, someone like this who just, he's too fucking good for his own good. You know, it's like he can't do anything wrong and he's held in such high regard. But I bet you when the doors are closed and the lights are out, he's just as big of a piece of shit as everyone else.
Well, you could make the you could make the argument that he did the most wrong, that he mishandled the biggest problem in the universe.
Yeah, he did. He Gensu'd up my boy, man. I can't let that go.
Yeah, he did that too. I just saw this GIF for it was like a little video thing, but it was that scene from Revenge of the Sith with the high ground, and Obi-Wan was being voiced by Mickey Mouse and Anakin.
I just put that up yesterday.
That shit is fucking funny. it's the Donald yelling "I hate you" that gets me.
right when he's catching fire at the end. Oh God.
Anyway, I think that so I've defended Obi-Wan with you because we've had conversations about him. And to me, the beauty of Obi-Wan is that he is I prefer Star Wars when it's a tragedy. And he is the most tragic character possibly in fictional history, but certainly in Star Wars. Like this guy who he's on this trajectory of being kind of a golden child in his lane. And his master is kind of an outcast. So he's been given this. But then his master discovers the Sith problem, which all of the other Jedi have missed. His master discovers it, which puts him in a different place. Then that Sith kills his master in front of him. He then kills a Sith. He's then given the responsibility of guiding the chosen one, who his superiors, who he was just in the lane of being one of, are adamantly against, but ultimately allow. He's given that responsibility. He fucks that responsibility up. The kid goes on to be the biggest fucking nightmare that the universe has ever seen. And then he has to go into hiding to watch the nightmare's kid grow up in secret, only to guide that kid at some point in hopes that he can right the wrongs of everything beforehand, and then has to give his life for that kid to survive. It's fucked up.
That's true.
His story is fucked.
That probably has to do with that religion aspect of the Force and the Jedi and whatnot. All that shit's fucked up in one way or another.
But what turns you off about him is that he's too good. What you describe him as, I think we see in episode one up until the very last scene where he's talking to Yoda, and that's the first time he bucks the system, right? Where he says the child will be trained or whatever, and then Yoda's like, Qui-Gon's defiance, I sense in you, need that, you do not, right? So I see what you're talking about in that movie up until that point. But after that point, I feel like he is a different person that's not necessarily the too good, you know, and he makes a series of mistakes. So I can't help but think there's something deeper about why you fucking hate this dude.
It's weird because he's a dude, but he's kind of the religious mentor to Anakin. It's probably kind of how my mom was to me.
And there it is.
And I relate it.
And there it is. Say no more. See, now I get it. But there had to be something else there. So you see Revenge of the Sith. You see that one in the theater. How was that experience?
Oh, my God. That was the coolest movie I've ever seen. In person, it was just.
It's the only Star Wars movie you'd seen in the theater up until that point.
Yeah, it was just the opening scene, the big space battle. I'd never seen anything that looked that good, or that awesome, or grand.
Yeah,
it was amazing. And then, so Anakin's grown now, ish, and he's wrecking shop, and he beats Dooku. You know, and it blew my mind. I was like, oh, I'm all in now. So that's my favorite. Episode 3 is by far my favorite.
Really?
I love that movie. Yeah.
Do you think it's because it's the first one you got to see in the theater?
Either that or it's awesome.
It could be both, I suppose. Because it is awesome. All right. Let's move on a bit. So now, did you get involved in any of the Rebels? I mean, not Rebels, but the Clone Wars stuff, any of that?
I had been trying. So my roommate, later on in life, we both moved back to Childress, and he was there. So we roomed again, and he was into the Clone Wars, and he watched them. And I've tried again recently to watch that show. I can't get past the first season, Clone Wars.
Yeah, the first season is the hardest to get through, but by the time you get to season 3, for sure, it's off to the races.
What is it that you find off-putting?
It seems so dull and just kiddie to me. I mean, I even tried to skip forward to season 3, but I'm like, man, what did I miss? I got to go back and watch it from the beginning and get all of it. And then I'll make it 7 episodes, and I'm just, Jesus, this is fucking boring.
It is very, that first season in particular is very freak of the week.
It's very vanilla and episodic.
Yeah.
And that you know, goes away more and more. But there almost needs to be like this abbreviated list of episodes everybody needs to see, like the very core story character moment.
I think episode. There is one.
Oh, I'm sure there has to be.
Yeah, I think that list exists. That's,
you know, just you pass it out to people like, no, just watch these. Don't worry about the rest.
Yeah, it's the required reading.
And you know, as much as I would say, no, watch it all. It's great. Like, no, I get it. Like.
Yeah,
it's not all for everybody. So
right, for sure.
You know, be good if you can enjoy the best parts of it.
I'll definitely have to find that.
Do you have any collectibles from Star Wars now?
No,
not a one.
No, it's what my funds are very limited, so I can only do one thing, and that one thing is Transformers.
Right? Huh. Okay. So
if I wasn't. I would be.
What would you do?
I'd do Hot Toys like you.
Is that right?
Just start. Just Hot Toys Star Wars.
Okay, so now you're hearing that Disney is going to buy out this thing. How are you feeling about that?
It was a gut reaction the first time I heard that. It's like, what? Why would they do that? Because in my mind, Disney, I'm thinking Mickey Mouse, Donald Duck, right?
Right.
How are they going to play that with Star Wars? But then I got to thinking about the Marvel stuff. And I said, well, let's just see how it goes. And then Episode 7 came out, and I didn't think they did too bad.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think there was – I think that even I had – you know, there was that voice in my head even initially of, oh, man, are we getting ready to really cartoon this thing up?
Yeah, it was – concerning. That's what I thought. I thought it would be so kiddie and cheesy and campy. I was like, oh my God.
But then I think that I did have an internal voice kick in at some point that was like, look, you know, Disney's made a ton of live action movies that aren't, you know, super vanilla. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So Episode 7 is coming out. Did you see that in the theater?
Yes, I did.
Nice.
The last three. The only ones I've seen in the theater is Episode 3, 7, 8, 9.
Okay. All right. So let's move through that. What did you think of 7?
Episode 7, the first time to me, I loved the way it looked. I thought it looked great. And I was so worried about Disney's rubbing their smell off on it that I was just happy that it wasn't. I was like, okay, this wasn't what I thought it was going to be. But I had to watch it again to actually watch the movie just to enjoy it instead of, you know, being on my guard. Like, what did they do?
You were like picking at it more critical that first time.
Yes. So okay. Then you go back and just watch it like a fan. And it was pretty cool. I was like, okay, I don't know where they're going. I can't tell yet, but this could be something good.
Yeah. Were there any characters?
It's easy to watch.
Yeah, no, I, you know what, dude, I 100% agree with that. It's a very user-friendly experience.
Yeah.
And honestly, I think, you know, for its time, you know, considering its distance from the prequels and everything. I think it needed to be.
Yeah.
I think that was the right choice.
I agree.
Then you have extremely not user-friendly going into episode 8.
Yes.
Ugh.
Yeah, so like, but let's... So let me ask you a question. Were there any characters that you bonded with or that you were like, man, I like this character a lot with episode 7?
I wanted to like Kylo. Mm-hmm. Like, I liked his look. I liked his swag. I liked his attitude until he started crying and whining. Mm-hmm. And then that kind of set me off to him. But, I mean, he regained my trust in him later on. But his bitch fits is what just threw me off about it. And he felt like a little kid. He didn't feel like this badass walking around.
Yeah, no.
When he would do that.
I think that's who he is, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I think he is like a stunted growth individual, like regressed in many ways.
I know someone like that.
I could say he's like put on pause, like falling to the dark side.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
It's interesting because he does break down into like the crying hissy fits and everything. But like the first thing you see him do is stop this laser bolt in the air.
Yeah.
And it's impressive.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I think that like I view him, like I almost view him as like coming back from that mission and like walking into a room privately and going, nailed it. you know, like I think that in some ways that whole thing on that planet on Jakku with him is a performance. Like, you know, it's who he's trying to be, but it's not quite who he is.
Well, that is, you know, what's said to be his fear is that he'll never be as great as Darth Vader.
Right.
Yeah. No, I think you're right. I like that. That's actually very interesting.
And I also like, I don't think that Kylo really falls into himself, so to speak, until he kills Han. And I think that after he kills Han and he takes that bowcaster bolt to the flank, that's when he becomes somebody different. Like when he's out there in the snow beating on himself.
Oh, man, that was tough.
Like that's when Kylo really starts to become this version of himself that he wants to be.
Mm-hmm. I love that part.
Yeah, I love the psychology of that character, like, a lot. I mean, up, you know, especially in 7 and 8. I love the conflict, you know, and conflict, like, internal conflict is something that I feel like it's often talked about in Star Wars, but we don't often see it. You know, mm-hmm. It's just sort of happens, like, Anakin's conflicted, mm-hmm. We know he's conflicted, but we kind of know he's conflicted because somebody says he's conflicted. You know, and then like the same thing kind of happens with Vader later, but with
nobody's narrating Kylo Ren.
Correct.
You're getting to inference and, you know, pick up on all the subtleties, and especially the more you watch it.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
Because like you're saying, you know, he's putting on a performance, and I wouldn't have thought about it like that and still wouldn't have until you just said it, and it just clicks. You're right.
It seems that way, you know?
Yeah.
Okay, so, you know what's funny is, you know, I walked out of that movie really connected to Rey. Like I really loved her in that movie. Like, I was like, man, like, I'll, you know, like, she, and I've talked about this a little bit before, but there's something, God, it sounds terrible to say.
Gas on it.
Oftentimes, when I'm interested in a female, let's take Wonder Woman, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think she's a super strong character. Super inspiring female character. It's all those things. You know what else? I'd like to have sex with her.
Yes, sir.
I often feel that way with female characters. But with Rey, I didn't. With Rey, she almost felt like your kid's sister or something. It was like you wanted to take care of her and you wanted her to be okay and find her family and all of this stuff. And it really attached me to her. In a way that I'm not sure I've ever experienced before. I think that Leia for me was a maternal figure in a lot of ways until Return of the Jedi, in which case, you know, she turned my world upside down a bit. And then, you know, a lot of other female characters that I, you know, grew up admiring, you know, Psylocke and Rogue Wonder Woman, and you know, these, like, there's also like a, there's a sexual tension there too, right? Where it's like, oh my god, like, these are super voluptuous women that are, you know what I mean, like, they're all shaped like, you know, some Greek god sculpted them. But right. with Rey, it was just a different feeling. It was almost like a, I don't want to say a daughter, because the age difference isn't that grand, but it's like a niece or a cousin or a baby cousin or a sister, you know. And you just, she was very endearing in episode 7, I feel like. So I bonded with her. I didn't really bond with any of the other ones, not Finn, Poe, not even Kylo until 8. You know, I didn't really connect with a lot of the characters, you know, aside from, you know, Solo, of course, who I'd already been connected to.
Right. That was a great moment.
Yeah.
Chewie, we're home.
Yeah, of course. Of course. So Rogue One, you did not see in the theater.
No, I didn't.
When did you see that one?
As soon as it came out on DVD.
And what were you,
because I was back home by then. So, I mean, I was in Childress again with the closest theater 60 miles away.
What was your thoughts on that?
I loved it. That's my second favorite is Rogue One.
Yeah. Interesting.
It's a really great looking movie, and it felt like Star Wars, and it felt like a grown-up Star Wars, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, I think that it is that. And I don't think we'll ever get that again, honestly.
Right. What's crazy about that is, so my lady has no care whatsoever about any of this nerd shit. And I've tried to make her watch everything I can, and she'll sit through it. She'll suffer through it. But the only thing she has seen to date that she even took an interest in was Rogue One.
Yeah. My wife loves it as well.
Yeah.
And she, you know, she likes all of it to some extent. I mean, it's like, it's intertwined in her life now. But that movie in particular is special for her. Yeah. And it is a different type of Star Wars movie. It is a more mature in tone type of Star Wars movie, which I listened to Jisk talk recently on Fresh Communications, and he was saying how he just wants super serious stuff, like in tone, but of this cloth, you know, the Rogue Ones, the Nolan Batman movies, like that sort of stuff. Like, that's what he wants. And like, I do enjoy a balance, you know, like I enjoy, you know, being able to go see Spider-Man Far From Home and be like, oh man, this is fantastic, and lights and sounds, and, you know, not necessarily a lot of meat on this bone, but, you know, it's fast food. And then also having something like The Dark Knight. But I'm not, if I had to go one way or the other, I think I would prefer the more serious tone stuff as well. I think it's my age too. I think, you know, getting older and wanting that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So let's get into Last Jedi. Let's go ahead and go down this road.
Ugh.
So, you sound like you really enjoyed this one.
Dude, episode 8 is my least favorite film of them all. I do not like that movie. I like parts. There's a handful of parts that are really great, and that's the only parts to me worth watching.
All right, talk about it.
So, that is boring. The whole movie to me is boring, except for these handful of parts.
Have you happened to have seen it again after 9?
I've probably watched it 12 times.
Having seen it after 9.
Yeah. No.
Okay. That's what I'm curious about for a lot of people. But go on.
What does it do?
You're going to view it differently, I think.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'll do that and see what it does. But it looks great. The film, well, all Star Wars films look great. It's just, it was so boring. And then you'd get a little bump of something you're looking for, that feel of Star Wars and the new story and something with these characters, and it just goes away and it's back to boring again.
I hear you often say, it looks great. Like you, and it's interesting to me, because, like, you know, a lot of your work that you do is aesthetic based. Mm-hmm. And it seems to be also with Star Wars, something that you bring up, you know, immediately. Like, it's like the go-to. Like, what did you think about this? Well, I loved it. It looked great. Which I do find interesting. But I do think objectively, in regards to looking great, that 8 is probably the best shot Star Wars film ever. Cinematography-wise. Cinematic.
I couldn't tell you. I don't even know what that means, really, so I couldn't tell you. I couldn't.
Simply that it's the best looking. Like, that it is like the best lit, the best, like,
angles that you would be the best framing. Filming from, how you move the camera.
Yep.
And the original movies are very flat and boring. Like, the camera's in position, and it doesn't really move.
Right.
It's just, that's where it is.
And there's a lot of dark scenes and whatnot in 9, so I get what you're saying.
And to give credit to Rogue One, I'd say that that might be the runner-up as far as cinematically.
I would too.
Yeah.
So boring. Boring is the issue, which is fair.
Well, he's from Texas. Riding on a horse is pretty boring. He's seen it.
You ain't seen it.
So what? You said that you get these little bubbles of entertainment. What are those bubbles for you,
dude? When those rocks smashed the little frog dude's cart, lost my shit. lost it when he drank that blue titty milk. Lost it. Just lost. I mean, you see the face on that creature when he was getting milked? I hope it's a she. She liked it. She was into it.
Oh yeah, for sure. And I think that she was a little irritated that Ray was judging.
Like, you don't want some too?
Like, she looked over at Ray like what, bitch?
You next.
We're doing our thing over here. Don't you worry about what we're doing. We're having a moment.
Get a towel.
Yeah. Those are highlights for you. Are there any others?
So when Kylo says every gun,
yeah, to open fire on that, dude, man,
and when that happened, it was just, that was one of the best scenes to me in that whole thing, is when they, from when him saying that to them firing to the dirt clearing or the red sand or whatever, that was amazing. And then he brushed his shoulders off and it was fucked up again.
You don't like that fight with the two of them, and the dialogue between the two of them?
The dialogue makes sense, especially when he kind of came to, when Luke kind of came to his senses and figured it out. It made sense then, but at the time, it started off really good until you figured out what was happening. You're like, wait a minute, something's not right.
Mm-hmm.
He's not touching him. So that was pretty cool. But then when you figure out what's actually happening, what's going on, it was just like a huge disappointment. Like, that's it? No more Luke? No more badass stuff? Oh, man. And that was it.
It's interesting, man.
Well, the deal is, so you've been waiting 20-something years to see the baddest Jedi ever to do the baddest shit.
But he's not. He's not that. That's the problem, I think, with a lot of the reaction to that film, is people think Luke is someone he isn't. He's never been the most badass Jedi. In fact, he's mostly been trash.
Who is the most badass Jedi?
Mace Windu, of course, just because you said badass.
Just on his wallet.
any Jedi that says this party's over, that's who my money's on.
Right. So in the book, in all the novels and books that have been written, has Luke not done some crazy shit and been considered?
But so I would make the argument now in hindsight that they got it wrong.
Which one?
The authors.
Okay.
You know,
they got it wrong and right. They get started right, and it went wrong almost immediately.
Right.
And it's just a place in time, because those Jedi Academy books where he's starting up, you know, his school, and the one guy gets, Kip Duran gets possessed by the Sith ghost and all that, like, it just kind of goes to toilet water.
Yeah.
It's full of shit.
Yeah, no, I think that somehow, and it took me like you know, it took me really thinking about who Luke was. Like, so first of all, I think Episode 8 is the only film in that trilogy that's actually about those characters. That's the only film in the sequel trilogy that's about the sequel characters. But on top of that, I think that Episode 8 was, it was a more realistic look at who Luke is. And I think that one of the big issues that people have with Luke Skywalker, they have because, you know, with few exceptions, a lot of B-list, C-list authors got a hold of that franchise and wrote shit where they turned Luke Skywalker into Clark Kent. And that's not who he is.
Does that stuff even count, really, in the movie?
Well, if it's not on the screen, it doesn't count. That's Gorton and I's unspoken rule, or spoken rule.
That makes a lot of sense. So if you've never heard or read or listened to any of the novels or books about Luke between Return of the Jedi and Episode 8, then you can totally see he's still the same person. He's just old and crotchety now.
Correct.
But with those stories thrown in the mix, that's what fucks you up.
Correct.
And you expect to see Mike Tyson come in and wreck shop.
Correct.
But he don't do shit.
Yep. Correct.
I mean, he does a really powerful move, and I get that, and no one else were going to do that. I get it, but you really thought something crazy was going
to
happen.
He goes against Vader in Episode 5 and gets his ass handed to him. He goes against Jabba in Episode 6 and gets his ass handed to him.
Cries every time.
He goes against Vader in Episode 6 and wins by turning to the dark side. He goes against the Emperor in Episode 6 and gets his ass handed to him. Like, he's not as badass as the novels made him out to be. And I think that when you have people, and to JJ's credit as well, to a lesser extent though, but when you have these people that aren't as well versed in the EU stuff, in some way it's a truer vision of these characters, because it's really just based off of the films. But
so
yeah,
that's really how you have to look at it. You have to just put it in your mind as a perspective of films only. Mm-hmm. Then think about it. And then it should open new ones up.
Yep. It is my second favorite Star Wars film. And
that's after Caravan of Courage, correct?
Correct. Well, Caravan obviously. And Battle for Endor tied at number one.
Well, obviously.
But it's my second favorite. Rogue One is my third favorite. And then everything else, you know, and I love all this shit, but everything else is the distance between third place and fourth place is larger than any other. Okay, so let's move on to Solo. You didn't see that one in the theater either.
Not the theater, just on DVD release.
How did you find that one to be?
It was okay. That's the only way I can describe okay.
You should be a film critic. Like, it would be great. Like, it was, you know, Sean Diesel says Solo is okay. But so, I say that to say this, I don't think you're wrong. I think that is that's pretty much how I view that film as well. It's okay.
And you know what gets me about that? So the coolest thing about the Solo movie to me was it took about 3, maybe 4 times watching it. Was what's that cat's name that plays Solo? Winter Soldier guy?
Alden Ehrenreich or something like that. It's a wild ass.
Not the Winter Soldier.
Yeah, but he wasn't the Winter Soldier.
Do what?
He wasn't the Winter Soldier. But
that's a different guy.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, for sure.
I thought it was the same guy.
Nope.
If that was Winter Soldier, I think Roger would have come to the theater with me.
That could have been in your film review too. It'd have been like best role since Winter Soldier.
Not far.
But
anyway,
yeah,
so it took like the third or fourth time watching that to figure out I really like the way he plays Solo.
Yeah, I do too.
I can see Han being this way when he was younger.
Yep.
I can get it.
I agree. Which is odd for me because it was the thing I thought I was going to have the biggest issue with.
Me too. But at first, it didn't hit me. I had to watch it a few times. I mean, you could just see it. Like, that's what he would do. That's how he would sit. That's how he would cock his head.
Right.
That's Solo.
Right.
That's Han.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you find any of the other characters endearing at all from that? Because I don't really either. A Chewie, obviously, but
yeah, but we walk in with that,
right? Exactly.
Yeah, true. Because he's the same, or feels the same.
I don't feel super. I guess Lando as well, but it's the same thing, you know. I don't really feel super attached to the female character, Khaleesi. I don't. You know, I hate the villain of that, like the Voss. I don't like that guy at all.
Vision.
Yeah, yeah. I just don't find his. I just don't find his character interesting in any way, shape, or form.
I enjoyed his like demeanor, but he's really very, you know, cardboard.
Yeah, yeah. I do like Woody Harrelson's character in that film. Like, I do like him.
Oh yeah.
But like the forearm monkey thing, it was like, you know, it's fine. and I liked the dynamic with Woody Harrelson and his girlfriend, like whatever that was, you know, before, you know, she had an untimely demise pretty early on. But whatever that relationship was interesting to me. But yeah, it's not my favorite. So, okay, moving on to episode 9.
It was, oh man, there was so much to take in at once. So and I've only seen it once. I've only seen it once, and it was so fast. I mean, I can't remember most of it. It's
when did we start sounding like old men?
Fucking.
It was loud.
I feel like an old man every morning.
Yeah, me too, man. But continue. I didn't mean to take you off course. Continue.
Oh, no. It was so I guess I ruined it for myself because I was – on this one, episode 9, I listened and I found and I actively searched for every spoiler I could find. For some reason, I don't know why, I'd never do this.
Uh-huh.
I was out there digging and listening, and I mean, it was spoiled, definitely spoiled. But I still had hope that no, it's just a ruse.
Right.
Then you see the crawl come down and it mentions Palpatine. Like, oh fuck, I already know this movie. So, I mean, that was pretty wild. Man, just like you make fun of, man, when he chunked his ass down the thing, I was like, that's perfect.
Yeah.
You couldn't have done it any better. Good job. But, I mean, it was that movie, it was entertaining to me. And it was fast, so it caught my attention, and it kept it. And yeah. You know, there's things that made me laugh, but for the most part, you know, it was answering a lot of questions, but then when you picked up on it subconsciously, like they're purposely trying to make sense of everything, it pulled me out for a minute. And then I had to just quit and just watch, quit thinking and watch.
Yeah, I really, you know, I think that, you know, like you said with Last Jedi, that it was, you know, it was too boring. Like, I think that the reason why that's boring is because there is a lot of character stuff in that film. And then I think in 9, it's not boring. It's the exact opposite. It's very entertaining. And it gets up and goes almost immediately and never lets off the gas. Similar to 7.
Right. I mean, they're either riding a brake or floored it.
Yeah. And but it, at the same time, it does end up feeling a little bit more empty to me because there's not that character stuff. You know, and then some of the choices regarding the characters are a little strange to me. But I'm still not sure how I feel about that film, like, and where it sits with me.
I'll have to watch it a few more times and where I'm not so rushed and I can actually sit down to get a better grasp of it. Just the first viewing was, it's a fun movie. I don't know if it's a good Star Wars movie.
I think that's a fair thing to say about that, actually. Mm-hmm. I do think it's a fun movie to watch. It's easy to watch. You know, much like 7, it's very easy to watch. It doesn't take any work.
No.
And sometimes that's a good thing, and I'm not sure if it's a good thing for the last story in a saga. But, you know, time might tell.
That's something that I think has a big impact on people's perception of the movie, is that everybody's looking at this as a 9-part saga. And I've mostly been looking at it as just the 3 movies, like just this sequel trilogy. And I think it's a lot easier to accept and digest it that way. Because when you do look at the grander picture, it's, you know, it's funky. And it's, you know, it's riddled with things from the original trilogy, not so much the prequels. And I wonder that even could more connective tissue helped it, but I feel like there's already so much or too much.
Right. Yeah. I agree.
To tie everything, you know, in some giant bow.
I agree. So where do you rank? Where do you rank? Is it you would go 7, 9, 8 for the sequel trilogy in regards to your favorites, Sean?
Yes.
Okay. So let's we do have a little bit more. How was The Mandalorian?
I thought it was pretty good. I mean, well, the first 3 episodes, I was really excited, especially when Mando blew that egg sucker out of his pajamas. I laughed so hard. It was so damn funny. So I thought, I was like, oh, man, this is going to be really good. And then it started slacking off. I was like, this feels just like a normal TV show. It doesn't feel like Star Wars anymore. And I started having doubt.
Yeah, yeah.
That they could do Star Wars in a TV form. Mm-hmm. Will it work? I don't know if it's going to work this way. But then, you know, it picked up again and it got better towards the end. Especially when that trooper punched Baby Yoda in the face a couple times. It was so awesome. I'm excited to see the rest of it.
Yeah, me too. And I like a lot of the characters from that show. And I like, you know, I love the first 3 episodes, and I love the last 2 episodes. And then the other ones are fine. But yeah, I like The Mandalorian. I like IG-11. I like Cara Dune. I like a lot. I like the Ugnaught. I like Carl Weathers. Like I like this Esposito. That character, Gideon, Moff Gideon, there's a lot of characters in this that I like, which is important for me with Star Wars. So I'm now optimistic.
Now, an interesting thing too, we no longer have IG-11. We don't have Quill, the Ugnaught.
Yep.
So how are they going to replace these characters that I think people took to so quickly?
Yeah.
And I think very willingly. I think they were enjoyable characters at the get-go. How do we, you know, go from there?
That's a good question.
We don't really have that crew now.
Agreed.
Or they've parted ways anyway. I'm also under the impression we might not see some of these characters in season 2.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Like, I'm sure we will again, just not season 2.
Yeah.
We'll see.
He'll just swing back by and pick him up for a job or something like that.
Maybe.
Yeah. What do you think about the future of Star Wars? Where do you think they should go next?
I don't know where they should go, but I just know where I would like them to go.
Where would you like them to go?
Old Republic.
Yeah.
I want to see that stuff. Because the only books, I haven't read any, but I've listened to them on audiobook, would be like the Bane and the Revan and stuff like that. And that stuff, that mythology and that lore, that's what I want to see.
I agree. I would love to see that stuff too.
Oh, man, can you imagine seeing Revan on screen and trying to figure out who could play him? Because that dude's
the thing is, they're not going to give us, I think, what we get from the books. Like, it'll be a different
version altogether.
It won't be the same character.
Yeah, it'll be
same as what they did with Thrawn and Rebels. It's not the same character. It's very much in the right vein and all that, but it's not, you know, it's still not what I think a lot of people want. It's like good enough, you know?
That's like The Rock playing Bane.
Oh God, please no.
I don't know if he has time for that, you know. He's got Savage Dragon on his plate.
Yeah, that too. Sean, what is your relationship now like with your mother?
It's good. I can only stand her in increments because her ramblings really get under my skin. She's either going off about politics or religion, and I'm just here to say hi, Mom, and ask you how you're doing. If you need anything, if you're going to scream and yell about this shit, I'm leaving.
How does she feel about, you know, how your life turned out and some of your, you know, I guess, choices and interests and all those sorts of things now as an adult that she can't control anymore?
Some of it eats at her. Mm-hmm. So it's, and some of that stuff is still a big sin in her eyes.
But, oh, you're talking about like a young lady friend.
Yeah, you know, living with someone,
turning your household into a den of sin, Sean.
Telling you, but at the end of the day, no matter how I fail in her eyes religiously, she would never tell you that I'm not a good man. And I think she takes solace in that, that she might not have got me where she wanted, but she did put me on the right path.
I think that counts for more than she's willing to give credit to be fair.
Yeah.
Sean, thank you for coming on. We know that you got to get ready for a full day here. So, it was great. And I loved, digging into your life. And that's a complicated situation up that you have. And that luggage behind you, but an interesting bag of luggage nonetheless. Gort, do you have anything for him before we get out of here?
I do not.
Me neither. But you know what? I have one. I know that Obi-Wan is not your favorite character. Who is?
In the cinematic?
Yes.
Anakin by far. Dark side Anakin.
Dark side Anakin. Fair enough. Sean, thank
you. I do have a question now.
Shoot.
Now, with an Obi-Wan show coming, do you think that that might change your perception of the character?
Well, I'm not sure, because I'm not sure what the show's going to be based on. I think they said it was going to be while he was on a Tatooine while Luke was a baby.
Yes.
Is it going to be somewhere? Okay. So I listened to an audiobook about three quarters of the way through of the stories of what he got into, just trying to see if I could hate him anymore. And what's possible, I'll give him some credit, he did do some cool shit, you know, he got on his gangster a little bit, but other than that, I was like, I still hate you.
Copy that.
Sam hates you.
All right, well, Sean, plug your Facebook page and all that kind of stuff and the type of work you do and all that before we get out of here.
Okay, so Sean Diesel's Body Shop, BOTTY. We do custom painting on action figures, Transformers, Gundams, model kits, whatever you got.
Beautiful work. Beautiful, beautiful work, by the way.
Yes. Like, honestly, truly incredible.
Yeah, yeah.
I had gotten to see some of that work firsthand, and it's really something else.
Yeah, yeah. It's in a different pocket.
Yeah.
I don't think a lot of people can tell, but the ones that have seen it.
Yeah. The Flame Toys folks told me that the paint job that you did of their model kits is better than what the quote unquote professional did that they paid for. So,
oh wow,
that should mean something.
No, it does.
All right, and we're out of here. Until next time.
Thank you very much, man. I appreciate it.